And at 27 minutes after the hour, Don, we're ready for you here. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist, a vintner, and a lot of pharmaceutical experience. We've leaned on that for many, many discussions over the past couple of years. And he's also a member of the board of Creation Moments. So you need to know that, because we stand firmly on the side of the biblical story creation. We talked just about anything scientific we've talked about. We've delved into COVID vaccines. In fact, we may touch on that today if there's time. And I remember, Don, you will remember, several years ago, we had an interview with a college professor. I don't know whether he was a botanist or he was a His name was Mike. Well, he'd been to Montana and part of a dinosaur dig there, and he researches this stuff, and he found soft tissue in dinosaur bones. And and evolutionists said, well, dinosaurs are 65 million years ago. They died. How could this be? In the meantime, labs on the East Coast and elsewhere confirmed that there was soft tissue in dinosaur bones. So this issue is kind of the same thing, and the evolutionists are still trying to defend themselves, apparently, against this finding. They're saying that certainly there must be a way to preserve soft tissue for that long, millions and millions and millions of years, whereas biochemists say, no, that can't be. Paleontologists say, oh, yes, it can. And they're attempting to prove it. And that's where the Iron Toast Union comes in, which is an interesting name. Tell us about that.
Now, before you get started too further, one of the things that Jim and I do is that if we can't think of a guy's name or can't think of a movie, we'll talk about the guy's name or talk about the guy and talk about the movie for a long time and put more and more words, and all of a sudden the name will come to us. Did it work for you? Did it work, Jim?
It's Armitage.
Oh, yes.
Michael Armitage. That's right. Mike Armitage. Yeah, that's right.
See, we had the first name. Yeah.
Yes, from UC Northridge in California.
Okay.
Yes, he was a microscopist, and he did electron microscopy work, and he took that expedition out to the dinosaur fields in I think it was East Montana or something.
Eastern Montana, Western South Dakota, or North Dakota.
So, anyway, he discovered that, hey, look, these cells look like osteocyte cells. And matter of fact, they are exactly looking like bone cells. And then he found blood vessels and other things. And then, as you had mentioned, Jim, other labs found not only cells, but proteins, for example, like collagen, type 1 proteins, and proteins inside these osteocytes, and various other things, even fragments of DNA. You know, how can these huge macromolecules last 50, 60, 70 million years old? And so the paleontologist and chemist have been struggling with this, but they don't take the obvious for what it is. And so they came up with this, this fellow from North Carolina State, he's a graduate student, Landon Anderson, published in Earth Science. It's probably his dissertation research, you know, that he published. And he says, look, maybe one mechanism for preserving these big macromolecules, because if you just leave these macromolecules alone and even under perfect conditions and buried in a lot of sediment, is not necessarily perfect conditions, but even under perfect conditions, biochemists have said these molecules aren't going to last even as long as a million years, much less 50, 60, 70 or longer, you know, millions of years. So he said, well, you know, I hypothesized two different models. One is that iron in the soil or something comes in, and it can catalyze cross-linking between these macromolecules. So you take collagen And if you, which collagen is the is kind of the building structural compound in protein in your body, and it's kind of, you know, it makes up a lot of your skin and various other proteins. So it's a long macromolecule. And he's saying iron, excuse me, iron can cross-link these proteins and thereby make them more stable. You know, cross-linking was discovered, if you will, during World War II, when they took natural rubber and found out that they can make the rubber stronger and last longer if they cross-linked it, in that case, with sulfur. And so they burned sulfur and cross-linked the natural rubber to produce tires for airplanes and the military vehicles and things. And so we learned how to cross-link years ago. And he's saying, well, a similar type of mechanism can make these macromolecules last longer if we just cross-link them together. And then, of course, cross-linking, maybe they wouldn't be exposed to the oxygen and other compounds that would normally degrade these molecules. Not to mention that bacteria and fungus could easily degrade, you know, these materials. So it's not only the chemical reactions that will degrade, but it's also the
so the idea is the odds are long, but it just might, maybe could, under ideal conditions, under very unusual conditions, last longer.
Maybe mm-hmm. You know, if I'm awarded my PhD, maybe.
there's the rub.
So, you know, he's trying his best, and then he said, well, there could be another mechanism, and that is it's toast. And you know, when you take bread, for example, you put it in your oven, and it forms this nice crust over the bread, assuming you don't burn it, and you take it out, and it's nice and hard, but it's soft on the inside, but it's nice and hard on the outside, while the hard crust protects the bread on the inside, and it doesn't mold or degrade as quickly as it would normally do if it was, you know, just the soft part of the bread being exposed. Well, and that has to do with the lipids and the fats and the proteins in the in your wheat that is causing the crust under the tremendous heat. Now, of course, he doesn't mention where this tremendous heat is going to be coming from.
I wondered that, yeah.
Yes. But that, you know, it might, you know, this material might form a crust, and then that would prevent degradation and migration of molecules. Now, if you're talking about migration of oxygen, you know, guess what? You leave your bread out, it's going to turn stale. And so you get, you know, oxygen and water can penetrate the crust. Mm-hmm. It might make it a little harder for the microbes to penetrate into the bread, but it still gets into the crust. And so that, you know, may not be a viable mechanism.
So what you're saying here is this is a bit of a stretch on the part of an evolutionist, a confirmed evolutionist.
He did no experiments, and then he said, well, you know, maybe if you combine the two together, that could explain it. And if I was his research professor, I would say, okay, you go back to the lab and you do some experiments and give me the degradation rates under these various conditions, mm-hmm. and see if you extended the degradation rate. And
I want to know if rye bread disintegrates faster than white bread, for example, you know.
Well, you know, it depends on how dense it is, because the less dense, I would think the faster it would degrade. But you know, that's for another time. Now, not to mention most of these molecules and proteins and, you know, DNA fragments and cells are found in bone. You got to penetrate the bone with the heat as well as the iron in order to get all of this to work together. And you know, he finally, after pages and pages of chemical reactions that, you know, he's hypothesizing this is how it might potentially work. No experimentation, but this is a pure hypothesis. He finally says, well, it's probably rare that this actually occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And probably degradation would take over before it can occur.
Well, the thing is that this cockamamie combination of theories would play well within the collegiate ranks of evolutionists, because they're searching for signs that can support their theory, which is really not even, it's a hypothesis yet, because there's a roaring lack of scientific evidence in support. So they'll seem to grasp at anything here. And rather than, as you said at the beginning, looking at the simple fact that soft material from dinosaur bones could not have been 65 million years old or 70 million years old, maybe several thousand years old at the most. So I'm wondering if there are enough chinks in the armor of evolution that it isn't starting to crumble.
Well, you know, honest science would say yes, there's plenty of evidence that evolution has crumbled and really can't be supported. This whole study here is in support of what's called deep time, that is long ages. And, you know, if you read your Bible, you don't have to read very far. Matter of fact, you only need to get to Genesis 7, 8, 9, and 10 to learn that, hey, there was a global flood sometime back in our history. And we're going to even make it easier for you, because we're going to give you the genealogies of these people, the ancestors, the descendants of Adam, for example, and then the descendants of Noah. And you can piece all of that information together and find out how long ago the global flood actually took place. And, you know, of course, if you do that, it's a little over 4,500 years ago that a global flood, took place. We have geological evidence all over the world for a global flood, but they still refuse to believe that there were such things. Oh, maybe we had local floods, but we didn't have a global flood. And the other part of this, of course, is if we admit that there was a global flood, then you're admitting that maybe the Bible is a historically accurate document, and maybe we could glean some knowledge from it and help us to explain man's civilization. Oh, we couldn't have that now, could we? Because that would be horrible. That if the Bible was actually accurate, of course, which it is. I mean, it's the Old Testament is a
we don't presume that the Bible is presenting science, but it is valid, dependable history.
Yes, it's a valid history, and when the Bible says that there was a global flood and water covered the whole earth, and everything that creepeth upon the land died, except those things that were in, you know, the ark. The historical fact outside of the Bible that it looks like, you know, that man's history started in what is called the Fertile Crescent, and of course Babylon being a major part of that. And so when you look at man's history and you look at the geological evidence, then both of those things support what is actually written in the Bible. And, you know, the exactly how the flood took place. Of course, we don't have that information, but we can certainly know that, there was a global flood. We can know that this piece of land, this continent, for example, was once joined with this other continent because the layers on both of those continents are the same. The silt and the compositions are the same, so they had to fit together, and that's not disputed anymore. The continents adrift. That theory was years and years ago, and the only thing that's disputed is how fast the platelets actually moved away from each other. And there again, the global flood helps to understand how that could have taken place in a relatively short period of time and not over millions and millions of years. So this paper is all about deep time and deep that dinosaurs lived a long time ago and they lived before man, and the evidence is that, of course, dinosaurs lived with man. All you need to do is go to the Book of Job, and it mentions two dinosaurs in the Book of Job in chapters 39 and 40, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. So, anyway, that's the story of the Iron Toast.
Well, I think we pretty well put that one to rest, I think, here. And then he needs to go back to back to class.
Recently, and you were talking about the tectonic plates and moving aside and all the rest of that stuff, and that continues on. That's still going on. I saw a video of I don't remember where or who, and I don't remember, but that there was a tectonic plate movement in the western part of Africa, and that it was causing a split in the landmass. Do you remember seeing that?
I haven't seen that. I haven't heard that. But that doesn't necessarily mean it didn't exist or it's not happening.
And I haven't been looking for it a lot. It could have been just fake news. It could have been just, somebody, just decided to make some interesting drawings. And they actually showed pictures of the landmass separating. It was over in, Western Africa, probably west of the Nile, but not as far as the coast. The description was that the tectonic plates were continuing.
Continental plates continue to move, and in subduction, some go under other ones, and it's all part of it causes earthquakes, which we know happen with regularity. In fact, flurries of hundreds or even thousands of shocks. Now they're talking about the caldera in Wyoming and in Yellowstone Park is starting to act up again with thousands of little earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So, it's an ongoing process, and who knows how it's going to end up. Don, you also sent us an article on COVID vaccines. Bring us up to date on that, because we've covered it step by step for the last 2 years. And what's the latest?
Well, it's continuing studies, post studies, if you will, of the folks that have gotten vaccinated, in particular with either the Pfizer or the Moderna COVID shots. And the article title reads, "Repeated COVID Jabs Weaken the Immune System." And we've kind of known this all along, but now we have scientific evidence that says, hey, if you can continue to get these jabs, your immune system continues to build specific antibodies. In this case, they're called IgG4s, and it depletes the rest of your immune system. And they've discovered that abnormally high levels of IgG4, Ig stands for immunoglobulin, and if you continue to boost these abnormally high levels of these immunoglobulins, actually make the immune system more susceptible to COVID and more susceptible to the spike protein. and you can get sicker quicker and with more severe conditions. Also, it weakens the immune system, and that then can go on to lead to such conditions as increase in cancer, because one of the causes of cancer is a weak immune system. So if you have a weak immune system, these rogue cells that are constantly being manufactured in your body can then take over and not be suppressed by the immune system. And, of course, you can have autoimmune type of diseases that come out of this. And one of the, myocarditis is an inflammation of the heart, and your immune system is essentially attacking your heart muscle, thereby causing it to have this inflammation, which then we know has caused major issues in young people that, you know, are a high risk.
Well, having been a part of the clinical study for the past 2 years, as we all were,
as we all have been,
yes. Now the evidence is starting to pile up, and even the CDC and the FDA are starting to change their thinking with respect to COVID vaccines, and they've stopped the mandates and stopped recommending it for young children, and I see where the FDA has finally suspended, and correct me if I'm wrong, the emergency use of this vaccine. And yet we still see Pfizer commercials on TV saying, hey, all is just swell. Get your shots. Protect yourself against COVID here.
Yes, get your shots. With the variants, we've modified the mRNA and with the new variants, and we'll give you a cocktail of the old one, the Alpha variant, and, of course, the Omega and these other variants, and you'll feel just fine. Don't do it, because you won't. And it's a type of thing that these conditions are worse the more boosters you get. So if you've just had, let's say, the original vaccine, and it's not really a vaccine, if you've had the original shot, and 2-4 weeks later you got a second dose, that's one thing. Your body seems to, for the most part, seems to manage that, although, you know, there's more information coming out of these horror stories of these kids that have gotten those two shots and gotten deadly. Some of them have died, and some of them are injured for life, as well as other people. But by all means, do not get boosters, because each time you get a booster increases your risk of these of building up abnormal levels of these IgG4s, which in turn sort of hijacks your immune system, and you're making your immune system weaker and weaker. And the quickest way to death is to have a very weak immune system. And so, you know, we don't want to do that. You want to boost your immune system by taking certain vitamins and getting sunlight and vitamin D and those type of things. And we don't want to weaken our immune system, which these boosters seem to be doing.
And there's another piece of interesting science that's come out recently that suggests that people who are still wearing face masks do so because they don't like the way their faces look. That's true.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, come on. You made it up.
Yeah, no, I didn't make it up.
I didn't make that up?
No, I didn't make it up. And I didn't make up this article about... go ahead. Well,
This experience over the last 2-3 years is really causing some psychological problems in a lot of people.
And by the way, this article about the vaccines is now a link. There's a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. You can click on that, and it's from trib247.com. Interesting and science-based. I think you'll learn something about Pfizer and Moderna and about a whole lot of politics when you read that article, and maybe stay away from those vaccines.
I haven't watched the video yet, so I don't know what the announcement is. But the Epic Times has got a story this morning that the FDA makes unexpected ivermectin announcement. And I'm looking forward to watching the video.
Well, stay tuned.
I think they'll probably say ivermectin's fine.
Well, this is another one of those stories we're following for you on Broken Road Radio. Dr. Don, a member of the board of Creation Moments, creationmoments.com is their website, and there you will find scientific evidence in support of the biblical story of creation. It'll help you defend the cause when you talk to people, have discussions around the water fountain. There's a whole lot to learn there, bro, at creationmoments.com. Don, we thank you again and look forward to next week. You always bring us, new knowledge. And now we put the Iron Toast theory to rest, and evolution is quaking in its boots, right, as we speak. So,
well, there you go. Don, you're quite welcome, and I guess we'll see you folks next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
See you next week, Don.